So, hello everybody, welcome back to Mind Castle. It has been a minute since we have done this. Reagan was gone for a month or so, around there, and I was gone for a while, and life's been a little bit crazy, so we're getting a little bit back to normal. We are here in Reagan's house drinking, well, I'm drinking tea, Reagan's drinking coffee. It is a good time. So today, for this episode, we are going to follow up on an episode we made way back when, at the beginning of this year, I think. And the episode was about what we are reading and what our goals and plans for reading for the year were. You know, how many books were we going to read a year or this year? What kinds of books? What were we going to implement that's different this year? All that fun stuff. So we're like a third of the halfway-ish through the year.
We're over halfway.
We're over halfway. So we figured we would go ahead and tell you where we're at with all of that stuff. So can you go first? Because I'm actually currently buying a book.
Maybe, but we need to first declare for the memory's sake, how many were we going to read this year? What was your
goal? How many?
Yes.
My goal is, not was,
no,
is.
No, was. Very important. Because it may have changed. It may have changed, man. It's been 7 months.
Why would it change?
Well, true. Okay, what is it?
60. 60 books.
Okay.
Which is 10 more than last year.
Did you complete last year?
I did.
Okay, so.
Actually, I did a little bit extra. Right? What was yours?
Last year?
No, this year.
Oh, this year. Oh, this year is 80 books.
80 books.
Yes.
You're slacking, man.
No, that was my goal for. Wait, I'm slacking?
Yeah, I thought it was like 100 or something.
Last year was 100.
Oh.
This year's different because I've been reading like 900 page books. So, you know.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that sounds, yeah. Cool.
Intense.
Hey, it worked. I just bought it. Nice. Now that I just bought it, I am currently in Goodreads, in case you're wondering. You should follow us there because I'm going to see what all my books are because that's where I catalog them. If it'll load. It's not loading. Can you go first?
Yeah. Do you know how many you've read this year?
Well, if you'll wait till Goodreads loads, I'll tell you.
All right. So this year, and we're in July, for those of you who, depending on when you listen to this, so July 2022, I'm sitting at a solid 45 books read this year.
45.
I am actually, according to Goodreads, because they never lie, I am right on track to finish my goal of 80 books this year. So. That's
wow.
Good. That's a good feeling.
Nice.
Yeah. And this year has been difficult because I've been reading like extra thick or long books, which I kind of do normally anyway, but this has been exceptionally so this year. So,
all right. Hold up. Let me check here. See, okay. Good. I love Goodreads. However, it struggles sometimes. Okay. Well, this is not good. I am behind schedule. By 6 books.
Ooh, please do tell. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So I have also started to read a little bit.
Wait, hold up.
Books.
Slow down.
Yes.
6 behind. How many have you read total?
28.
You've
read? I think it's actually closer to 30 because there's a few books in here that I have not cataloged yet that I think I have finished, but I don't think I've actually.
Well, that doesn't
them.
Count unless you've actually logged it. So,
well, okay. Well, I'm pretty sure.
You're at 28.
Wait, hold on.
Dude, you got a long ways to go.
Yeah, I know.
You gotta get whacking.
Ah, nuts. I did add that one. So here's the deal.
Okay.
I have been taking a little bit more time with my books and spending more time on activity or actions that the books are encouraging me to do. For example, I read The Art of Impossible, which I referenced a few times on this podcast. It is a great book. Mm-hmm. However, there are a lot of things that you could just read over and be like, oh, that's cool. Like, interesting. Move on. Or you could take a little bit of time and actually put it into practice and get like really good at some stuff in life. And so I'm like, I read the book twice. And so the second time I took lots more notes and now I'm going through it again, just copying down all of my notes. And so I'm taking a lot slower because I want to actually implement this stuff. Same thing with The 4-Hour Workweek, which I read by Tim Ferriss. That one is also very applicable and practical. So I'm trying to take my time on, like I finished it a little while ago, but I haven't had time to go through and do my notes and stuff. And when I go back through and take my notes, that's when I try to implement stuff from the book. Yeah, I don't know. It's just like, I haven't done as many audiobooks as well. That's part of it, because I don't really haul mini barns as much anymore. So that way less driving time, so I don't actually listen to audiobooks very much. So yeah, combination of not listening to audiobooks and reading much bigger books, aka Tools of Titans. Not Tools of Titans. Our Tribe of Mentors.
Yo, that's a huge one.
Yeah. It's like 600 pages.
I read that one last year. Yeah, it's every bit of 600 at least. It's sitting right there. We should look at it.
Oh, yeah.
Which, by the way, guys,
I am
hold on, let me see.
1/8 of the way through, probably.
What's your total on that? Because so this that would be a book that would actually be worth pulling some slices out of and doing some podcast episodes
Absolutely.
On. So for those of you who aren't familiar with it, which I hesitate to recommend wholeheartedly because it's obviously very secular and humanistic and stuff, but Tim Ferriss goes around and interviews all these extremely successful, at least by, you know, world standards, successful people in like health and finances and things. And said, so how did you build what you have? Like, what's the, I don't know, what's the secret or et cetera. And there's some really interesting slices in there. It's like, wow, I never thought of doing it that way. All kind, you will come out with so many neat ideas out of that book.
Oh man,
you're just getting started. Whoa.
What? No.
Yeah, yeah. You're only like 100 pages in.
71.
71 pages in.
It's, out of 577.
Boy, it's a really good read, but there is just so much value in there. He basically interviews the world's best in entrepreneurship and business and athletics and authors. And so, I mean, you name it. You could read down some of the famous people in there.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, Terry Crews, Naval Ravikant, Susan Cain, Stephen Pressfield. Who else do we got here?
I didn't realize how big a deal Stephen Pressfield
was, Gary Vaynerchuk,
by the way. Did you know, like, Stephen Pressfield has written like a load of books
as
a very accomplished novelist, actually.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Here's one of my favorite things from this book at the very, very beginning that I really like. It says this. He says, "The older I get, the more time I spend, as a percentage of each day, on crafting better questions. In my experience, going from 1x to 10x, from 10x to 100x, and from 100x to 1000x, returns in various areas." He's saying 1000 returns, 100 times returns to 1000 times returns in various areas. So these are returns, like the 10x, 100x, in various areas has been a product of better questions. Life punishes the vague wish and rewards the specific ask. And then he says, after all, conscious thinking is asking and answering questions in your own head. If you want confusion and heartache, ask vague questions. If you want uncommon clarity and results, ask uncommonly clear questions, which I really appreciate.
That's a real piece of wisdom. It is amazing to me how far you can get if you like just cold email or cold call people with a question. Have you thought about that?
Well, yes, except I tried it. No, I haven't gotten anything.
It takes effort. It won't just happen. But like cold emailing someone that seems way out of your league and asking them questions or needing help with something or like, hey, what about this thing? It's amazing if you have good questions and you do it right, you can get a lot of good advice out there. I'm kind of going through that. If they respond, yes.
I had a hard time getting people to respond to me.
Well, yeah, there's ways. I don't know. I mean,
you can bombard them.
Yeah, don't do that. But right now, I'm getting some really good advice from some people in life that I really look up to. That's like, okay, they're way out of my league, but asking the right questions and putting out the right things and saying, can I have help with this? It was amazing how willing people can be if you frame it properly.
Oh, you're not talking about like celebrities necessarily?
Well, celebrities may be a little harder, but someone who's done something in life that you would like to do, like a goal you have, and go ask them, how did you do it? If you were in my shoes right now and knowing what you know now, what would you tell me?
Right.
And that is incredible how often
you can get some
incredible advice. Like, and do that, please do yourself a favor and do that all the time. It's free information that you can apply. And it will save you years. Yeah, it seriously could. It could save you years. I mean, I was talking to our grandpa is down right now, and Trish and I were visiting him here recently on as we were traveling home. He lives in Virginia, and he's 93, and he's lived a lot of life. And I was like, wait a minute. I have never sat down and asked him kind of in the big picture, you know, the things he's done in life and things he wishes would have been better. And he told me a few things about maybe some business decisions and that he was just unaware of how certain things worked because nobody had told him. And so he ended up making this choice with the business that ended up actually not being a very good idea. And he looks back at that and be like, ah, I lost a few years of life. If someone would have told me, or if I'd have known the question to ask, I could avoid that. And then he was passing that on to me and saying, please make sure you don't do that. Like, that was a bad idea, you know? And that was really, that was huge. Now here I am thinking, why did I never ask him that before? That was free wisdom just waiting for me to have. Yeah. And he was happy to share it, but I never asked.
Right. Well, so, a lot of times they don't think to share those things unless like it's probed or asked.
Because
it's a part of your life. You don't think about it as much. Yeah. Another one of my favorite things he says here is, often all that stands between you and what you want is a better set of questions.
Mm-hmm.
And that is very, very true.
Yeah.
So yes, anyway, back to our initial thingamajiggy here. I've been taking a little bit more time on my books to try to dig in a little deeper and like actually apply them. That's my excuse for having read a little bit less. So right now I'm reading like 5 books. One of them is The Art of Possibility, which is a very small book, but it's just jam-packed full of stuff. And a few other books that I got recommended to me, a few from the Tribe of Mentors, actually. A book that Terry Crews reads every 2 months, he said. I wouldn't recommend it, at least not at this point.
That's really
So yeah, I'm not quite sure what all he gets out of it, but it's at least letting me see the world through his eyes a little bit. It's very new age and law of attraction. Universe of energy kind of thing.
Oh yeah, that's so, some whacked out stuff.
Yeah, and I don't think Terry necessarily would go down that vein, but the practices in the book are really, really good at like helping you visualize your life. What do you want to accomplish? Make it real. What are you actually trying to achieve? Get it on paper, write down your goals, like stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think that's more what he's leaning towards. Yeah. So maybe I'll finish reading it and then we can talk about it. So I'm reading that one, Art of Possibility, a few others. Yeah, does that answer your question?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Cool, nice.
So did you get your Goodreads pulled up? I'm curious what you've hit so far this year.
What I've hit?
Yeah, like what all of you have you devoured? Like I've been so all over the map. Okay, so to rewind, when we did this podcast 6 months ago, I think we said for this year, there were certain types of books that we wanted to read more of. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Do you remember which ones you said? I remember one I said was, I want to not read as much, but I want to spend time reading more novels and getting a little deeper into stuff instead of just like all over the map. That has definitely happened. Mm-hmm. I'm curious how it's worked for you.
Yeah. So one of the things that I had said, well, I developed a must read list. These are books that it is my goal. If I don't read any other books, even if I don't get my 60 books a year, I want to have read these books. And so
tell us what that list is. I'm curious.
Well, give me a second. I'll have to pull it up actually. Let me pull out my fancy schmancy.
Where's your second brain when you need it? Oh, my.
There it is. All right. The 4-Hour Work Week, which I've already read. Breath by James Nestor, which I've already read. Awaken the Giant Within by Tony Robbins. Not sure I can recommend that one yet, but I am intrigued to see how he interprets the world a little bit. How We Learn. No, I haven't read that one. I forget who that's by. That one I might change. Just because I've found a few other books that are a little bit better seeming about like learning and knowledge and stuff like that. A Better Brain at Any Age. That's actually really interesting. This is written by a nutritionist, I think. Yeah, he has his MD in like, he specializes in helping people through nutrition. Very, very interesting.
Yeah, and so I've heard of that.
He was finding like when he was treating people that he was helping them. Like some of the results indirectly were having an effect on like cancer and on like brain health and amnesia and stuff like that. And so he's like, whoa, this is really interesting. So he started diving a little bit deeper of like, how does nutrition affect the brain? And so he has this whole book about how to build a better brain. I haven't read it. I've found it at McKay's and decided I wanted to read it. It's been on my bookshelf for a little while. Another one is called Inside Out by Larry Crabb. I don't know very much about that book. It's been highly recommended to me though.
Mm-hmm.
And Quiet. Wait, no, Brain Rules. I don't know if I want to read that one anymore.
Brain Rules is pretty thick.
Really?
It's really good, but it's pretty thick. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I got a copy over there.
It feels like it kind of fits in with all the other stuff of like how we learn, building a better brain. Yeah, stuff like that. So I don't know. I might replace that one with something else. But then the last one is Quiet by Susan Cain.
Yeah, Quiet is good. Yeah, Brain Rules. This is the classic Brain Rules in this particular field.
That is thicker than mine.
Developmental molecular biologist and research consultant is this guy. He's definitely a guy that has, he's done a lot of stuff. So, it's good. It's just, it's thick.
It's a weekend kind of thing.
Yeah, it has a lot. I mean, it's like, state of neuroscience really of like how you, how your brain works kind of ish and how it applies to daily life. Very, very interesting. I haven't actually read it, but I've leafed through it and had different people recommend it as, your brain is probably, it is the single most important part of you, obviously, because if it doesn't work, nothing else does. So learning how it works is really important. And that's kind of what it is.
I feel like that's one of those books that you read it and then it's like if you ever need to refer back to it,
yes,
it's really critical.
Yeah. Oh, it is. It's set up like a textbook, actually.
It kind of looks like a textbook, honestly.
Oh, yeah. I think it has been.
Last one that I just added, 12 Rules for Life by Jordan Peterson, which I just bought.
You've never read? No way.
Yeah, I know.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. You know, he's really controversial right now.
Yeah.
So Jordan Peterson got banned from Twitter recently and has been saying a lot of things that people don't like. So, yeah, now's a good time to read his book for sure. It's good. There's a lot of interesting stuff in there.
Yeah, for sure. I'm intrigued with it. So that is what my must-read list was. Now that I've slugged through that.
That's such an interesting must-read list. Wow, mine would be utterly different.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be like The Republic by Plato or something.
This is also like me way back at the beginning of this year. Like now that I have read like a little bit more.
6 months ago, man. It's not that long ago.
Stuff changes. Like, for example, I just bought like 20 books at McKay's.
Yes. We should probably clarify for our listeners. McKay's. Is a beautiful place. So McKay's is this basically giant warehouse. There's two of them equal distance from our place in the two cities close to us. And it's a used bookstore where you can come in with all your old books and trade them for either cash or in-store credit. And so people bring in just like buy the wheelbarrow load almost of books. And then they sell them and very cheap. You can get anything you can imagine. It's just like a playground of, it's amazing. So McKay's, we go there frequently. It's a great place.
Yes. So one of my goals this year was to read wider.
And did you?
I have done that.
Ooh,
so
give me a sample.
How is, let's see. Well, I read some Churchill.
You read Churchill, which one?
The one by Paul Johnson, just called Churchill.
Oh, I thought you meant like read some of Winston Churchill's books.
No,
that
would have
been
him.
Amazing. Okay. Yeah.
I read Benjamin Franklin and American Life.
Are you serious? By Walter Isaacson?
Yes.
Dude, the thing's like huge.
Yeah.
It's a very large book.
I'm telling
you. Fascinating.
I decided to educate myself on the whole anti-aging side of things.
Oh boy.
So I read Boundless, Upgrade Your Brain, Optimize Your Body, Defy Aging. If that doesn't tell you what it's
that
about.
Sounds all scammy right
so
there. All right. Okay.
I'll explain that one a little bit. He takes some things too far, obviously, in my humble opinion. However, he's kind of like the Tim Ferriss of optimizing health, meaning that he is a human guinea pig. So he tries anything and everything, and he's a reporter. And so he has, this whole book is literally his entire life of him experimenting on himself.
That's wild.
So anything that you could possibly imagine health-wise, it is in there. And so he literally starts out the book. He's like, you do not have to read this book through. He's like, this is basically a compilation of everything I've learned. So if you have a specific problem, let's say you want more mental agility or you want to learn the best workout with the least amount of time put into it, or you want to figure out how to optimize maybe your gut health or energy drinks. What about like, teach me everything to know about energy drinks. You know, so like, it's like that. So you come in with a topic and then you search for the book. The book is 36 hours long.
Oh, you listened to
it? I listened to it. So this thing is like Tools of the Titans on steroids.
Wow.
It took me like a long time to get through that book. It was very, very interesting, I will say. Obviously, he's like, you know, pro live forever kind of thing. So I'm not sure where all that is.
It's like a whole thing, yeah.
Yeah, he had some very interesting stuff in there. It was very fascinating. Some of the stuff, like especially with workouts and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like I learned some stuff about just how our bodies operate that is fascinating. Like, for example, did you know that every cell in your body has a unique chain, basically like what your cell is? And every time your cell reproduces and duplicates, that chain gets a little shorter.
Okay.
And over time, that chain gets shorter and shorter and shorter until it is non-existent. And that's when your cell dies. It degrades, falls apart. And I forget what it's called. I should know what it is, actually, but I can't remember. The longer you can keep that chain, the less deterioration happens in your body. The most effective way to keep that chain from deteriorating is working out. So it's interesting because they can track your, so you have your normal age, right? Then they have this other way of they'll pull out some samples and they'll measure this chain on your cells and they'll see what your non-biological age is. So like what your cell age is. It's really, really interesting. So you have someone who is like 50, but they've been working out, they've been active, they've kept their health up. And their like cell body age is of like a 35-year-old, you know, stuff like that. So like their body is literally degrading slower for their age than other people. So stuff like that is like, oh, like I knew working out was good, but it's like if I know that lifting heavy things is going to keep my cells from like literally deteriorating and falling apart, that's kind of important. So like just, you know, interesting things like that that I learned. What else have I been reading? I read a book on psychedelics. That was interesting.
Okay. Weird.
Yeah. That was another one where I was just like, I know nothing about this. I don't plan on doing anything with that, obviously. But I was just like, I kind of want to understand people. So that's another, I kind of have a weird fascination with people. And it.
Well, and psychedelics is really so, a trend right now.
It's like, so, okay. It's, for example, oof. People like, okay, so Muslims. No, I think it's either monks or Muslims. I forget. I just read an article where this whole like holy experience, like the whole book is about how it used to take, you know, decades of meditation and searching for God and all this stuff to find one with the universe or religion.
Yeah.
And the book is about like, okay, now psychedelics can target those things in your brain and like you can have it instantly. You can have that experience of 15 hours of straight meditation in like 10 minutes. And so then the whole book is about that and like what is happening here. Like there's a whole thing happening here in religion.
We're short circuiting the human brain, basically.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Oh, that's and so trippy. Then
I just got Tim Ferriss sends out an article or a blog post of like things he's learning throughout his week. And one of the things was there's a whole new movement happening in the Muslims. I think it's the Muslims or else it's like a monk.
Maybe
movement.
It's like
I forget.
Buddhism.
It could
something.
Be that. Yeah. But they're starting a whole new religion out of this. The whole thing is like you can experience God through psychedelics. And the whole premise of it, from what I've found, is like religion is being replaced in some ways by psychedelics. And I was just like, whoa, like brain blown. That's some crazy stuff. Because, well, actually, the main reason why I read it was because I've seen it becoming more and more popular. And I'm like, you know what? Like in 10 years, this is going to be like,
it's going
to
be huge.
It's going to be huge.
Man.
And I need to know.
So scary.
I need to know and be educated about it. So yeah, all those listening, don't do psychedelics.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's some
which is it's
crazy,
really interesting.
And we're not promoting it.
No, definitely not. But it is interesting that you mentioned that because Jocko Willink did a podcast with, I don't know who, it's not like I really listened to that much, but he did a podcast with someone. She had served in the Canadian military in Afghanistan and had a really horrible mission that went sideways and lost basically their entire unit or most of their unit. But somehow she survived, like miraculously kind of ish. And the whole story is just awful. And she had incredibly major PTSD, but also like her brain was kind of broken afterwards. So like she would just snap, massive mood swings, almost like bipolar type stuff. And this went on for years that she couldn't recover and eventually went to a psychedelics clinic in Mexico, because it's the stuff they were doing is illegal in America. She had a religious experience, is what she claims, through these psychedelics that brought her to peace with that mission and allowed her to, you know, have this experience with her unit and say goodbye to them and like have this whole closure for her life. And it fixed her PTSD. Okay. Yeah. That much is definitive. You have doctor's reports saying that it did that. But it's really weird, man. Like, it's weird because she's not religious that I could tell, but it was like this religious experience that these psychedelics had like hijacked her brain, which, so I feel like, okay, I'm glad she's not having PTSD because that stuff is awful. Mm-hmm. But man, I don't know about that. That can't be right. Yeah, that can't be right. So anyway, not to get derailed on psychedelics, but it's part of a bigger issue of of humanity is getting far enough along technologically that we're trying to figure out ways to hack the human body and the human brain.
It's and really sometimes scary that, stuff.
You know, sometimes it's good because it's maybe a cure for cancer or something. Wonderful. But sometimes <That'd be nice. laughs> it's like, yeah, sometimes it's like, let's try to create, you know, biomechanical limbs that are going to be better than the limbs we have, or Neuralink, which is Elon Musk trying to implant a computer chip into your brain and make you smarter. Like, that stuff is crossing the line. I mean, that's I don't
scary
know
stuff. Yeah. Anyway, we got derailed.
We got derailed by psychedelics.
Slightly.
So this is a good proof point here that our interests are all over the place.
Yep.
Like. Anyway,
so yeah, with all of that, the quote is relevant, or like, it's good to have an open mind, but know when to snap it shut. Was that Churchill?
I'm pulling up the quote.
You're pulling it up.
It's so good.
It's really good.
We have to read it.
Yeah.
So it's actually G.K. Chesterton.
Ah, shoot.
So that was my next guess. Typical British eloquence here. G.K. Chesterton says, "Merely having an open mind is nothing. The object of opening the mind, as of opening the mouth, is to shut it again on something solid."
Yeah. Yep. And that is exactly what
a lot
of this is about. Why we read widely is, it's learning how to, like, I know A.W. Tozer says this. No, was it A.W. Tozer? Oh, man.
Man, dude. Okay.
It was where he said that the mark of a educated man is being able to hold two opposing opinions in his mind without feeling threatened.
Yeah. I don't think that's Tozer, but that is.
Is that Shakespeare?
No. Let's see.
Who is that? Because I have lots of quotes like that in my mind. I just can never remember who said them.
This is why you should have your note-taking system.
So anyway, I feel like that's my side of the story. What's yours with, you know, what you're reading, all that stuff.
I'm all over the place, man. Typical.
I figured.
I did do a lot more with novels this year. So that was fun. That has been fun. All over the place, man. I did one on.
I did as well, actually. That was longer ago, so I didn't mention it. But
well, this is one we need to do an episode on. It's called A Canticle for Leibowitz. I mentioned it on a previous episode.
Oh, okay.
It's a novel from 1961, I think it is. And it's excellent. It's so good. It's about the future. I don't know if the guy's a Christian or not, but the heroes in the story is like the church and a monastery in the future and the challenges mm-hmm. they face in the aftermath of a nuclear war, because he's writing this at the height of the Cold War. So what would happen if the Soviet Union and the United States went to nuclear war? Mm-hmm. Basically, it would destroy the planet. And what are the few things that would remain? Well, things like the church and religion and, you know, different things like that. So this is a story of that and how the church has to rebuild and preserve the remnants of civilization and documents and things like that for future generations. And it is fascinating because it's telling a story of what the church has actually done for real in history. That was kind of like his point. I don't want to ruin it for anybody, so I'm not going to say any more about it. You should read it, though, if you're interested in, like, human nature and where humanity could go in the next.
Yeah.
Like, it's like we think kind of short term, and this book is saying, yeah, but what about 100 years from now? What about 500 years from now? What about 1,000 years from now? And where would the church be? Where would society be?
Yeah.
And it's brilliant. It's brilliantly done. It's a classic piece of, I think it'd be called science fiction or future fiction, whatever you want to call it. So I went in kind of skeptical, but I actually came away. I was like, whoa, that's amazing. Hmm. I learned a lot. I read another one on, like, you know, computer code because, yeah, hey, why not?
Yeah. Nice.
the Almanac of Naval Ravikant, which we reviewed on here.
Check that episode out.
Yeah, that three episodes out.
Four.
Actually. Was it four? Oh my. There is just so many lessons. Again, not endorsing him as a human because he has a lot of ideas I think are bogus, but there was some interesting stuff there. I reread the 4-Hour Workweek again this year because that was interesting. Here's another one we should do. Oh, man, I'm just all over the map. Lessons of History by William Durant.
Okay.
Short little book. And he like tackles 5,000 years of human history basically in like 100 pages. It's so good. William Durant is just amazing. He was a philosopher back in the day. He died like 40 years ago or something. So it's a classic. It's so good. Everybody should read it. It just really helps you understand history and things. See, I'm all over the place, man. I read another one that you would really appreciate. Hold on.
Oh,
I remember how to pronounce it. Hold on. I do not recommend this book, but just to show you how widely I read, I read On the Psychology of Military Incompetence.
Oh my.
It's like a West Point textbook or something. It's super random. And so I started going through and I was like, oh, this is actually really interesting. So I read it. It's like a classic from years and years ago about basically different military history things and like lessons to learn. So it was actually really interesting. Like I learned all kinds of history and all. Yeah. Anyway, I'm guessing nobody is nerd enough to actually appreciate it besides me. So I just finished one on the future. That was really good. I've been reading a lot of theology lately. That's always fun. Lots of novels. Here's one that you need to read and then we need to do an episode on.
Okay.
It's called The Clock of the Long Now.
Oh, yes.
I think I mentioned it on this episode you before. Did. It's very similar vein as The Canticle of Leibowitz. Yeah, similar themes. Is like, what about the next 100 years, 1,000 years? Like, what would that look like and things? Yeah, it really made me think. I don't want to spoil anything. We should just do an episode on some of those ideas because, it's like, whoa, I've never thought about it quite like that before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. It pretty much sums it up.
I read a lot on like... Very like I read really broadly, but then I read really specifically in some aspects.
Mm-hmm.
Just very so yeah. I don't know. I bounce all over the place.
Well, here's another one that actually we should look at sometime. And that is Man's Search for Meaning.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Viktor Frankl. Yeah.
Yeah. In
classic. So for those of you who don't know, so Viktor Frankl was a psychologist by training, had a practice in Vienna, Austria, and had the option to escape the Nazi regime because he was a Jew, but because of his credentials, he was given, I forget which country, but they offered him asylum. And he decided to stay because he wanted to stay with his family, like his parents, his aging parents, and his wife. And he gets, that towards the very end of the war, they really ramped up like trying to massacre the Jews in the Holocaust. And he was caught in the last year or two and went to Auschwitz and a few other concentration camps, death camps, really. And it's his story of pushing through that. And what is very much, we mentioned this book too, The Gulag Archipelago.
Oh, yeah.
It's similar vein as that genre. It's like almost a biography, but he's a psychologist by training. So he's bringing out like all these things he's learning. Ooh. And he sat down and wrote it immediately after he gets out. So it's like within a year of him getting free.
Let me see if I can find it.
It's a wild ride. It's really, really sad. So keep that in mind for any of you that might want to read it. But there was a lot to learn there. It's just, once again, helped me understand, you know, humans can be really mean to each other.
That is one book. So in Tribe of Mentors, by like where he interviews all these mm-hmm. successful people, that is the most common book that comes up, at least for me so far.
Yes. I have heard more people that I respect recommend that than almost any other book outside of like, I don't know, the Bible and some others and stuff. But yeah, I never heard of it. It's a classic. It's like millions and millions of copies of this thing have been sold. It's been around for the last 80 years or whatever. And I just never run into it. Yeah, go on Amazon right now and buy a copy. You would really enjoy it. Not enjoy is the wrong word. I mean, it's really sad, mm-hmm. but it really makes you think.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've read 45 books so far.
So you're on track and everything.
I am on track.
No fair.
Yeah, and the average length of these aren't short books. For those of you who think we're cheating, we're not cheating here. No way. This is hard work.
Should I get a hard copy or a paperback?
Paperback's fine. Because I was writing all over that book. Man, it was crazy.
It's expansive.
What? Man's Search for Meaning?
Yep. 21 They're like bucks.
$8 on Amazon.
Hold up.
I'm not sure where you're looking. Yeah, so anyways, if y'all are interested, you can follow us on Goodreads, where we post what we've read and actually post the occasional book review, which is really fun.
Ah, yes.
And you will see, yeah, we read widely. And I think that's something, I don't know, maybe we should do an episode on this sometime, but we've done one on how to choose what to read, but also reading things that we don't agree with or reading from people who are coming from a very different perspective that we think is wrong. Like a lot of the stuff I read are people that I would not agree with on a lot of things,
mm-hmm.
but there's still things to be learned there. And there's reasons why we read those certain books, and that takes a lot of discernment. So I want to be careful with that, you know, depending on what you'll see coming through on the feed, it'll be like, oh, okay, that's kind of random and weird. Like psychedelics, for example, I'm not sure why we got off on that. That's kind of really, really weird. But at the same time, I think the goal here is a broad perspective of humanity and how the world works and the history of the world. Like, history is really important. You'll see that's a running theme throughout the stuff I read. Even that Man's Search for Meaning, you know, is a piece of history as well as some other things. or on military incompetence, or the psychology of military incompetence, is a history book, you know, and I just find this stuff fascinating, you know, because yeah. learning from the past is really important. Maybe I overdo it sometimes. I read a lot of history. Oh, there's another one by Dan Carlin. The End Is Always Near. It's so good. Fun times. So the moral of the story is I'm staying true to my goals for the year, and Austin is slacking.
I'm slacking.
This is pretty much where we're at.
Yep. Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, I'll get on that. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode. We will do another follow-up as the year goes on and see how we ended the year, see where we're at, see if our reading stuff changes as we go. If you wouldn't care, we would love for you to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you see fit for this podcast. It really helps us out. We would greatly appreciate that. And as always, you can find us on the internet, interwebs, at our names, regshock.com, austinshock.com, and on YouTube and all the social media places. Yeah. Thanks for listening.
We always struggle to know how to end these
things. Yeah. It's like, bye.
Okay. Bye.